Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, September 9th, 2018. The Reverend Gail Doering is our guest pastor today, and her message is, We're Coming Back to the Heart of Worship. The Old Testament lesson is from Exodus 34, verses 1 through 9, and the New Testament readings are from the Gospels, as well as Paul's letters to the Romans and the Revelation.
O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts gathered in worship be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, my friends, I begin with a fable, one of those stories that, as some say, all stories are true and some of them actually happened. A pastor, a Christian pastor in a church in a smallish suburb or community with its challenges and with its joys, and with good-hearted people who gathered every Sunday to worship, were frankly driving their pastor a little bit crazy. And the pastor, in his leadership of the congregation, had just about come to his wit's end. And so the community had a wonderful interfaith connection, and he went to his local rabbi, the teacher, and said, Rabbi, I just don't know what to do with my people. And so the rabbi says, well, tell me a little bit about what's happening. He says, well, the people come to worship, and they have this tradition, and half of them say the tradition is that we stand during the reading of the gospel, because that is the honorific, that is the respectful thing to do. And the other half of the congregation says we sit, because that is the humble and the prostrating thing that we would do during worship, as the scripture says we should be humble, we should bow down. So that's why we should sit during the reading of the gospel. And the rabbi says, they say that is the tradition of our community and of our faith. And so the rabbi says, well, I don't quite understand what your problem is. And he says, well, you know, they're just constantly fighting about this stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. And the rabbi leans back and goes, ah, that is the tradition. We do have and pick our battles. We do think that we know a little bit more about what is right. And, you know, despite what it is, when we come to worship, when we come together as a community of faith, you know, it's a little bit like art on the wall. We may not be artists, we may not be experts, but we know what we like. In my visits to the Holy Land, and especially to Jerusalem, one of the spots that most everyone visits on a tour, and then somehow I continue to seem to be drawn back to, is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is the place where Jesus is supposed to and reported to have been crucified and buried, a place where millions of Christian pilgrims come and are dedicated. It is dedicated to the head of the church. Multiple denominations and multiple factions of worshiping bodies have communities there and are still actively worshiping today. The first time I was there was in 2012, and it was an exceedingly hot and crowded in the church day. And so after walking through, I decided to separate out and go into the courtyard and wait for my small group. And as I sat there, I was looking all around and up. Very high up, there are arches and windows and so on. And then I fixed upon something that was odd. It was an old ladder that was way up high. You know, imagine proportionally it would be up where those windows are. And if your buildings and grounds folks had been up there and doing some sort of work, or you were dusting the cobwebs off the windows, and you needed a ladder to get to the top of that, and you just left the ladder sitting there, you could imagine that. So after my friends came out and the four of us had gathered again, I said to our friend who had been there several times already, I said, "Hey, I noticed this ladder." And she said, "Oh, Google it or Wikipedia, ladder at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre." And so I followed her instructions and I did. And what I found is that, again, everything is legend and somewhat tradition, and you don't know exactly what happened. But in short, what they said is that at some point in time, several centuries ago, perhaps, there was a need for some work in that area. And the ladder was used, but no one could remember or figure out for sure which faith community had done the work. Was it the Armenians? Was it the Coptic Christians? Was it the Greek Orthodox? Was it the Roman Catholics or the Franciscans? Nobody knows. Or was it just the meddlesome Muslims who have the key to the church, because the Christians can't be trusted with it, who got up there and put the ladder as a joke? I don't know for sure. But what I do know is they can't decide who's responsible, so therefore, it stays there, because no one will take it down. And as I read that the first time, I thought, now there is a metaphor for the church of Jesus Christ and where we sometimes run into problems. And we have these problems of coming home to worship. I've been caught with this myself, especially having been unemployed. I am the world's worst worship critic. And I know that I walk into a place and suddenly I want to feel comfortable. I want to feel at home. I want to have it be my way. But as far as I can tell, in reading those scriptures, particularly from the New Testament, but others as well, God is not all that concerned about how I feel about worship. And so I want to just mention a few things that I have gleaned and discerned over my years of pastoring and also of reflecting upon these scriptures. And the first one is probably the most important one. Worship is not about me. It's not for me. It's not to me, even. It is really about God, and it is about me because it's about me worshiping and offering myself. When I was in seminary, I was probably even a worse critic than I am now about other people's leadership of worship. And I was in my home church, and I was very active, and I had become disgruntled with my pastor. I thought he was being sloppy and a little free with the text, and you all can blame me for that later. And so I would go into worship and I would become more and more frustrated. And finally, a friend of mine, in my complaining and judging, said to me, "You know, Gail, you're there to worship God, not your pastor." So for a few weeks, I started going to worship, and when it would happen, I would start to lean over into this space of judging or complaining or feeling like it wasn't what I thought it should be. I would simply kind of pray a mantra that said, "God, I'm here to worship you. God, I am here to worship you." Another thing that has been helpful to me as I think about worshiping in the body, where, you know, how many ever people are here, we all have different tastes, different opinions, is that worship is a little bit more like a bus route than it is getting on a plane and flying to Boston. Because in a bus route, we get on and we get off. There are stops along the way. And so we may not enjoy the whole ride, or the person who sits next to us. You love the person who sits next to you, so this doesn't work as well. But, you know, they may come on and you may not have a conversation, and a person may get off and another person may come on and you have a great conversation. Or one day you may have a driver and he is super friendly, or he just is like someone that makes you feel at ease, and the next Sunday, you're on that bus and maybe it doesn't feel as great. It's more like a bus ride than a plane trip. There's something else that I think is so important as a community for us to remember in worship, which is when something is occurring that maybe isn't as meaningful or is a struggle or bumps you out of worship a little bit, to be very mindful that it may be something that is extremely meaningful to the neighbor sitting next to you. And that's what it's about when we are in community, when we are looking at the whole and the holistic of worship that is honoring of God. Because let's face it, when we're in community and there are 100 of us or 200 of us or 20 of us, we're never going to completely satisfy 100% of the people 100% of the time. Because worship isn't a commodity. But we have made it that. We've all heard the term church shopping, church hopping. We're going around to find and see the fit that is best for us. We are now in a world and a social climate that says, I market to you. I give you exactly what it is that you are looking for. And even when you're starting to think about that next thing, up it pops on your screen. So we're so used to having things tailored to have it your way. Another thing to be aware of is just the original meanings of what worship is. It is, you know, it comes from that old English word worship, which you can bring those meanings to mind. But also, a word we often use is liturgy. In the Latin meaning, the work of the people. I mean, you should be paying yourselves for worship, not me, because it's your work. This is you. We're having, as awkward and as imperfect as it is, this is a conversation. You're in your head right now agreeing or disagreeing, wondering, having your own thoughts and meditations. It's not just about the people up front. It's not the Michael and Wendy show. It is the worship of Community Presbyterian of Vallejo. Now, in this text today about Moses receiving, again, the Ten Commandments, it finds him in this very subtle and brief way. He is brought to worship. And he already knows the challenges he's going to have with his stiff-necked people. But also imagine that he is given a call and he's carrying out that ministry of worship as he, again, takes those best ways with him. As I once again reflect upon those scriptures of the New Testament that I read and that you have in front of you, I ask you to see what you didn't see in those words. What I don't see, or what I do see, actually, is things about glory, about praise, about prayer, about singing, about joyfulness, about offering, about confession. But what I don't see is that the only way to serve communion is to pass trays. Or what I don't see is that the best churches only celebrate communion by intinction, and you know, that fancy word for rip and dip. I don't see Jesus saying that there is only true worshipful music is a hymn or a Bach anthem. Nor does Paul extol the benefits of a repeating praise chorus or tizay chant. The only critique I find is in places like the prophets where Amos quotes God saying, I hate, I despise your festivals. Or the psalmist saying, only, the only acceptable sacrifice to me is a broken and contrite heart. I don't see that our ways, our human cultural ways of worship, make one of us better than the other. You know, the chancel choir doesn't get to march five steps ahead of the praise band into heaven. I know, you thought you did, but you don't. Honestly, it brings me to a place of the hymn that the bell choir played this morning, that they didn't know I was going to pull this in, and I didn't know until I read the order of worship that they were going to play it. A musician, Matt Redman, singer-songwriter, you can argue with theology or expressions, but the fact of the matter is he's a worship leader at a huge non-denominational church, and his pastor realized that worship had kind of just fallen flat. The band had gotten better and better. The music, the singing, the vocals, it was recording quality. But the people, you know, the reason that we gather together, the product of worship that comes to God from you, was just not there. And so he did something pretty bold. He said, we're stripping it down. We're taking away all the instruments, the sound system, everything. And we're going to simply ask the congregation to bring to worship what they offer. Now, as Redmond tells a story, and I'm sure these stories get changed over time, but that he said initially that led to some pretty awkward worship moments. You know, that awkward silence where nobody's saying anything and everybody's waiting for somebody. But he said eventually the congregation once again found their authentic, unique, and indigenous voice. And the discovery was that worship was not about sitting back and being entertained or letting the professionals take care of it, but it was about dedicating an offering to Jesus and responding with the heart, mind, and soul of oneself, bringing one's whole self to worship. I think because they played it, you would be cheated not to hear the lyrics. When the music fades and everything is stripped away, and we simply come longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless God's heart and will bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what God has required. God searches much deeper within. For the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. We're coming back to the heart of worship. We're sorry, God, for the things that we've sometimes made it. When it's all about God, it's all about you, Jesus. One of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though we are weak and poor, all we have is yours. Every single breath.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.